Welcome to Building My Legacy Podcast. This podcast is designed for leaders and entrepreneurs who want to leave a legacy and will provide strategies that focus upon key elements for legacy creation, determining your desired impact and its benefit, increasing your legacy's reach by engaging key stakeholders, planning, prioritizing, and executing. Here's your host, Dr. Lois Sonstegard.
Welcome, everybody, to today's Building My Legacy podcast. I have with me today Mark Slabaugh. He has a company called Mark Slabaugh Coaching. He's a certified Pinnacle Business Guide and Executive Coach. He comes with a background in looking at what are the things that we really need in order to build our businesses. And so the five pinnacles of your business are people, purpose, playbook, performance, and profits, right?
That's right.
And so, Mark, tell us a little bit about how did you get into doing this, working with teams, with companies. You focus on not-for-profits. You started in working with churches. You come out of ministry yourself. And focus still largely on not-for-profit. So share with our audience a little bit, what got you down this journey? Because leaving the ministry is one huge decision, and then all of the rest of this is another.
Yeah, Lois, I'm happy to be here with you. Thank you for the opportunity to communicate with you and your audience today. In my background, one of the things I found, and perhaps people don't necessarily see this or understand this. When you're a pastor, you're like constantly recruiting. You're constantly building teams for different projects, different initiatives. You're constantly trying to help people leverage their skill sets and their minimum time in order to add value to what you're trying to create. And so I always found myself recruiting teams, building teams, inspiring teams to do great things. And they're volunteers, right? So it was always an opt-in or opt-out. I didn't even have a paycheck to hold over people's head. It was always this volunteer thing. And I just really loved that aspect of what I got to do. And then I, for the last 10 years, since 2013, I've been working with churches and nonprofits, primarily in the area of fundraising, capital campaigns, and those large projects where they say, hey, we need to raise an extra amount of money to accomplish this great big thing that we want to get after. So we have this big vision. Here we go. We want to do this. And it often feels very like it feels impossible. It feels insurmountable. How are we going to raise $10 million? How do we do this? And it's really about building a team, communicating, and inspiring that team to go forward. And so for me, I'm constantly kind of mindful of teams. I'm mindful of how leaders communicate. I'm always kind of watching that. And I think even in watching leaders, I'm watching followers. I'm watching the people who are on the team and like, how are they responding? How did they receive that message? What's actually being communicated? When that leader says something, I'm watching everybody else in the room. Are they nodding their heads or do they have a skeptical eye? So I'm really just, I'm a student of teams. I love interacting with teams, and that just really kind of gets me fired up.
So within teams, one of the things that you talk about is trust. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk a little bit about that because Gallup tells us that only about 26% of people trust their organization's leaders today. We tend to think about 73% of our governments are corrupt. And so that whole thing of trust has eroded. And as we've seen with the great layoffs, it's probably just put, oil on that fire. Yeah. And it keeps burning, but we haven't made it really get better. So talk a little bit about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, I think if I can kind of put an overall context to my big idea about trust, plus motivation equals retention or a better team or whatever you want to put at the end of that math equation. Trust plus motivation equals a better team. And so in this area of trust, I would say one of the biggest one of the biggest investments you can make in your team is to ask one question to your team or to an individual on your team, and then just sit down and listen for 10 minutes. Just listen and hear what they're saying. Hear the things that are important to them, because they will tell you like what problems they're having at home, or they'll tell you what problems they're having at work. They will tell you. In fact, I take this from my wife a lot, who is like, every time my wife has a conversation with someone, she'll just say, "You won't believe what they told me." And she is just like this. She is just like this open cavern where people tell her all sorts of stuff. And she has this ability to just kind of ask one question, and it just keeps coming. And so I'm just kind of watching that sometimes. And I think people really just want to be heard. And it's not that they want everything to be, you know, changed because of their voice, but it's just this matter of like, ask a question, sit down, and listen. And I think that's huge. You just got to listen, because they'll tell you what's important.
So let me ask you, why don't we do it more? Our churches sometimes do it. Many times they don't. Organizations don't do it. Not as much as they employees maybe want it. So why don't we do it?
Yeah, I don't think it's nefarious or as intentional as we would like say, like, you know, my boss never listens to me. I actually don't think it's as intentional as that. I think with visionaries, whether it be in a nonprofit space, whether it be in a marketplace, visionaries have ideas, and they have people who can like make things happen. And so they bring an idea and they're like, okay, go do it. And they just kind of are ready for the next idea. And visionaries often have a hard time kind of looking in the rearview mirror and saying, well, how's that going back there? They're thinking about the next thing. They're thinking about the next thing. And that's really what they're good at, right? I mean, that's what we want from a visionary, is that they see ahead and they can paint a picture of where we're going. And so I think it's just a matter of like, just slow down a second and make sure everybody is coming with you. I believe it's John Maxwell who says, if you're taking a walk, if you're leading and no one is following you, you are just simply taking a walk. Essentially, you're just by yourself. You're not really leading. And so you have to make sure that people are coming with you on that. And I think it's just about listening.
It's about listening. Okay. And listening creates trust. We have trust eroding. We have people. Our organizations are very busy. So how do you do this? It's active listening, but how do you do it with very busy people where we also have, I think the other thing that we're hearing is, I don't know that I want to listen. I don't know that I want to talk, because there are a lot of things that may not be acceptable today. Worse, what is acceptable today may not be acceptable tomorrow. So what's safe?
Yeah.
That safety in also talking and listening. So if you would speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. So there's good questions and there's bad questions, right? There are questions that can lead to greater benefit than others. I'll say it that way. Things like just authentically being interested. We talk a lot about at Pinnacle, we talk a lot about being interested and not really interesting. It's not really that I need to be interesting as much as I need to be interested in you and what you're doing and what your effort is. And part of that is it is asking questions about being interested. Maybe it's something like, hey, last week I introduced this big idea, this big thing that I'm passionate about. Tell me how that plays out on the sales conversations. Your manager of sales, or you're directing one of our sales teams. Tell me about how that big idea plays out in a sales conversation, and just let them give that feedback. I think it is, the question you ask is probably super important to what you uncover. And we want to uncover things that allow that person to have a voice. I think that's what is vital in that trust. Is asking questions to hear their voice, and then being authentic about it. And if they say something you don't like, I mean, you can genuinely respond with, "Wow, I never thought of that. It's not good to hear, but I never thought of it that way. So I appreciate it. Let me process that a little bit." And that's authentic, right? That's just saying, "Wow, I hadn't thought of that. I don't know what to say. Give me a day. Give me some time to think about that."
So I think part of what happens is also there's a time management that is part of this, right? And getting people to talk, to trust you, to share what's on their heart. Part of that comes from their experience of, you may say you're interested, but yep. Have you shown me that you're interested, right?
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, how much time do you have to invest if you need to replace that person? If they find a better opportunity, now all of a sudden you have an empty seat. So we got to figure out how to do their work. We got to figure out how to recover their customers if they're in sales or whatever that looks like. We got to do their work. I also need to invest time into replacing that seat and filling it. And so that's going to cost me more time. So, I mean, let's just put it on a scale of like, how do I actually gain time here? I think part of that is investing in those relationships. And truly, if you're a leader and you don't want to invest in relationships, maybe you should not be a leader.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about how do you keep leaders and players on your team?
Well, I think not everyone can be a leader, but if you are a leader, it's not about you. You cannot be task focused. You have to be people focused if you are in a leadership position. You need to be mindful of the room. You need to be mindful of when everyone else is exasperated about an idea and they're just tired of it. You need to be mindful of that. And then you've got to build up to a place where you can ask the hard questions, where you can read the room and where you can just say, "Okay, we've been talking about this thing for a while, and it would appear very few of you are happy about this. So let's talk about it." And then again, it's listening. Ask a hard question and listen, and then receive it and allow them to speak into that. Hard questions, hard conversations are the breakthrough of trust.
Yeah. For sure. The breakthrough of trust is hard conversations, and they're what we often want to avoid, aren't they?
Yeah, they're hard.
So tell me, Mark, we have lots and lots of books written about leadership. We have lots of discussions about it. What do you see are the trends? What's emerging? What's happening? What do you see the future being for good leadership?
I would say the top three things that that I am interacting with leaders about is that idea of retaining my top performers, my top players, because here's what's happening. The pandemic has confused everything. How we worked before is not how we were working 18 months ago, and how we were working 18 months ago is not how we're working today. And depending on the company, how we were working 30 days ago is not how we're trying to work today. It's ever shifting landscape. And here's the thing. If you're not clear about vision, if you're not clear about this is how we work, this is where we're going, this is how we do it, then all that change just piles on top of the confusion. When everything is clear about direction and vision, we can handle the changes of, you know, today your office is here, or today your office is at home, or today we need you in, you know, Austin, Texas. We can navigate those changing environments if everything else is clear. But if everything else is muddy, if everything else is not clear, then it just piles onto it. So keeping your team together is vital. And how do you keep your team together? Well, it's as we talked about with trust, but it's that second thing of eliminating noise. You got to be clear. And as a leader, it's not the tasks. It's about communicating. If you're the leader, you need to communicate, and you have to communicate, and you have to communicate, and you have to communicate. You have to repeat yourself. You repeat yourself all the time. Because if you don't, if there are information gaps, people make up stuff on their own.
It's true.
Right? And so you've got to be clear. You've got to repeat yourself. So it's the how do we keep our top players? It's making sure that we eliminate noise and have a crystal clear vision. And then the second thing is kind of tied to that. It's this idea of like, how do we execute in today's environment? Because it really feels like everything is complicated. And I actually don't think it's more complicated than it needs to be on our execution. And that's, we might have to have a second episode for that, but we overcomplicate a lot of our day.
Why? In a nutshell, why?
I think we overcomplicate it because it's hard to give simple answers and be satisfied with simple answers. Not only as the person giving the answer, but as the person receiving the answer. And I think simple answers have an appearance of like not well thought or not investigated enough.
So tell me, with the work you do in not for profit, are you seeing a difference in what's happening with retention in the not-for-profit world versus the corporate world? Because certainly corporate world is struggling. You look at IT, we're seeing still layoffs happening and a certain amount of dis-ease, really, over what's my future, right? That question is in people's minds. Mm-hmm. Is that same thing happening in the not-for-profit world right now?
I would say the same thing is happening in the nonprofit world, except in the view that I have, nonprofits move a little bit slower than perhaps marketplace, probably because there are perhaps a few more people asking questions about how money is spent in a nonprofit space than there is in marketplace. That's not always true, but in my experience, there's a few more people involved, and they just don't run at the same speed.
Got it.
So I think it's the same, because if the vision is muddy, if nothing is clear and everything else is kind of changing around them all the time, well, I can go get a job over here and not have this headache, and they'll pay me 20%, 30%, 40% more. So, you know, what should I do? Well, I'll go over here that it seems to be clearer. They know where they're going. They know what they're doing, and I can get paid more.
You know, it's interesting because many years ago when I was working in healthcare, I used to say that the sort of a trajectory of decision-making for people in terms of their job was, number one, how do you treat me as a person?
Yep.
And then the second was, how do you communicate? Do you listen? Is it a two-way communication street? And if those two things didn't happen, then it was, well, the least you could do is pay me.
Yeah.
Right. But it's in that order.
Yeah.
And so when we hear the noise right now about income, to me, it's always a barometer of what else is happening in the organization, because that usually doesn't emerge if purpose and meaning are fulfilled within individuals. Is that true in your experience as well?
Yes, very much, Lois. I agree with that. I think people are okay with understanding their kind of financial terms that they've agreed with in coming in. And so, I mean, obviously, I've agreed to this salary or this pay currency exchange. I've agreed to this, but if you don't treat me like a real person, if if there continues to be like a lack of vision or a lack of clarity and everything is confusing and somebody takes it out on me when it's actually their fault, you know, all of a sudden now it's not worth what those original terms were. And I think that is kind of the rub, is it's not an equal exchange anymore. Now you're piling on, you're treating me less than, you know, when I came in and you thought I was great. Or you laid off half my team and now the other half that is still here has to take on that whole workload and here we go.
And here we go, right? We have a downturn economy, right? Companies are struggling. So part of their decisions about what they're going to do with people and layoffs is real. They've got to make their bottom line. Stock prices have to be managed. Valuation of companies, revenue growth, all that has to be managed. So given your sense of retention being really important, trust really being important, motivation coming from trust, what do you do during a downturn economy? How do you manage that in a really ethical way?
Mm-hmm. In one place that I was serving for a couple of years, our visionary, our leader, left very quickly, and we went a long time without filling his spot. So we kind of had some interim roles that were assigned to myself and some others. We accomplished more in that 9-month period than we had at any other time. Organization grew. The team had a better chemistry than we ever did before. It was in the midst of it. We didn't really see how that was playing out. It was just kind of nose down. Here we go. We need each other. Let's figure this out. And as I look back on it, I say it was about focus and almost a forced focus, because we didn't have time to deal with the garbage. We didn't have time to like get into conversations about, you know, long conversations about like what's for lunch. It was just like, we're going, here we go. And I think that forced focus was the power behind our success as a team. And so as we go into this place of, you know, is it a downturn economy or whatever it is, you know, depending on your industry, you're already hit by this. I think it's the leader's job to help bring that focus. If you're the leader and your teams are getting hit by this, I would walk the halls slowly every day. I would have conversations every day with everyone. Focus, clarity, listening, repeat yourself. If you got 75 employees, have the same conversation 75 times. Reinforce the values, reinforce the direction we're going. Listen to what they're saying. Just communicate. I think communication is going to be key to keeping that focused. And like, it's natural for people to worry if others are getting laid off. But if they never hear anything from you, right? What we talked about a little bit ago. If they never hear anything from you, what are they going to do? They're going to talk to each other. They're going to fill in the gaps. And if the leader doesn't communicate, somebody else will.
The underground communication channel is a very strong one. And if you don't communicate above ground, it goes underground.
Yep.
So tell me, with fundraising in the not-for-profit world, how are you impacted? Are you impacted or not at all right now?
Right now, there seems to be a lot of increased momentum in conversations around nonprofits growing. Fundraising needs. I think many have kind of climbed out of whatever the fog was from the pandemic. And I think it's different in a couple different places. In a couple different places, I attribute it to, I think they now have their courage back up and they're kind of out of their own kind of emotional distress from the pandemic. And so they're ready to keep pressing forward. But some aren't. In other cases, it is this idea that they have had growth over the last year, and now they need to really kind of address what that growth has created for them in terms of opportunity and how to capitalize on that moving forward. So I don't know that I would say it's across the board with nonprofits. I think for nonprofits that have, again, the things that we've talked about, the nonprofits that have clarity, that have good communication, and that have initiative in many ways, that it's not just this idea of, well, let's just sit and wait and see what happens. But rather it's this idea that, man, we need to keep going. What we are doing is important. Mm-hmm. And that really gives purpose to your people as well. It gives purpose to your team. Hey, what we're doing matters. What we're bringing to this space matters. It's important. We must keep going. And I mean, that's true in the marketplace as well. If you're bringing a service or a product that fills a need, this is important. We need to keep doing this. It matters for our customers. And the same is true in nonprofits. If they lose sight of that importance, no amount of money is going to save it.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? If you lose sight of your purpose, your mission, what you're doing, it's very hard to bring people alongside you. And, you know, that's what we're hearing from the younger generation as they're coming into the workplace is, I want something that adds meaning and purpose to my life, right? So there's a searching that's going on. And whether people look for it in the workplace or other organizations, they're looking.
Yeah, very much. And part of it is a personal journey, but I think also organizationally, if it gets lost organizationally, I think your own personal journey of purpose and how what you know and the grounding that you have, I think can maintain you for a while. But at some point, you want that alignment. You want that ability to have that same confidence and foundation that your organization is pursuing something of purpose and meaning.
So, Mark, I love it. In terms of trust comes from, it's trust plus motivation, is it?
Yes.
That creates retention.
Yes.
And really our future is our people. If we don't take care of people, we won't have the workers that we need in order to produce results. What have we missed in our conversation? Our time is rapidly leaving us. What have we missed that we should be talking about that the audience should know?
The best thing you can do is have real conversations. And so as a team, you know, if you're leading a team, if you're on a team, carefully and authentically have those hard conversations. Whether it's around an idea that's bad, but the only person that thinks it's not bad is the person whose idea it is, or whether it's, you know, smaller things than that, carefully, authentically, and with preparation, have hard conversations. And not in a sense that someone needs to win and someone needs to lose, but just this idea of like what's really going on here? Why do we think it's a bad idea? Why do you think it's a good idea? Those kinds of things. There was a quick story. There was a gentleman who had come into a company, had been there for several months now. And one of the things that was important to him was build camaraderie. And like, he came into this new company and he was like, hey, I want to be part of the team. I want to feel like I'm part of the team. And in one meeting, he was like, hey, you two always go out to eat every week, like three times a week, you guys go out to lunch, but you never invite me. And it was really hard for him to say that. And the other two looked at each other and they said, well, you really want to know? And he said, yeah, I want to know. They said, the first 2 weeks you were here, we invited you six times. And you said no every time.
Oh, wow.
So we just figured he's too busy for us. And it just kind of like, I had no idea I'd done that. But it broke through and allowed them to kind of navigate outside of it. And that's really what you want to do, is you want to get through it. And sometimes those hard conversations lead to breakthroughs. Yeah.
Well, and he was willing to ask, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's hard, right? Sometimes you're offended and you're like, nobody likes me. And you kind of get into this self-loathing kind of place. And sometimes you've created it yourself. Sometimes you haven't. So, you know, just ask, be thoughtful, be kind, but ask, have a hard conversation.
Be thoughtful, be kind. Another thing that you said that I think is fascinating, Mark, is we, irrespective of what our economy is doing, you can produce results if you come together, get focused, and commit to solving the issues that are at hand. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we get focused and we're coming together like that, all of the chatter, the negative chatter disappears. You don't have time for it.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the advantages when you're in that situation that you shared.
That's right. Yeah. In every industry that's affected by a downturn economy, in every industry, there is a pocket of companies that thrives within that downturn. So while the industry as a whole goes down, there are some that continue to thrive within that. And I mean, we should hire some researchers to kind of dig into that a little bit more, but I would say it probably comes down a lot to communication, clarity, and just making sure that everybody understands why we're doing this and where we're going. Because I live in an area that is really hit kind of by feast or famine. Mm. And it has a lot to do with manufacturing. And sometimes that manufacturing is robust and everybody's making money. And sometimes it's very, very lean. But every time we get to that lean, there's a couple of them that still continue to grow. And so it's not happening to everybody. So really dig in. I think it's about communication. It's about clarity. It's about those conversations that help everybody understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Okay. So clarity, so you can understand. On that note, we will end, Mark. Thank you so much for being with us on Building My Legacy podcast today.
Lois, this has been a lot of fun having this conversation. So I hope it has added great value to your audience. Thank you.
Yep. You're so welcome. Thank you. And for those of you listening to Building My Legacy podcast today, thank you for being with us. Remember to visit our websites as well at buildtomorrow.com with a number 2, and also start with collaboration.com. So we look forward to seeing you again very soon. Thank you, Mark.
You've been listening to Building My Legacy podcast with Dr. Lois Sonstegard. To book your appointment with Dr. Sonstegard, visit www.buildtomorrow.com.